Support for this podcast comes from U.S. Bank. U.S. Bank wants to know how you reward yourself, because they have cards that make every day more rewarding. Are you a points hoarder, cashback guru, low intro APR lover? With U.S. Bank, it's up to you, because they have the cards to fit your lifestyle. So earn more whether you're shopping at a gas station or grocery store, even while planning a staycation. Learn more at usbank.com/creditcard. U.S. Bank credit cards are issued by U.S. Bank National Association N.D. Some restrictions may apply. Member FDIC.
Monday RotoWire Daily Fantasy Sports Podcast, sponsored by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. I'm Jake Litarski, joined as always on Mondays by Chris Benzine. If you are out there on Twitter, go ahead and give Chris a follow, please, at Crispy272002. You can follow me on Twitter at JakeSki52. The Ski really coming through with another win for Poland in the Euro Cups here. Speaking of Euro Cups, Copa America, all the TV Sunday night. I mean, Clayton Kershaw on Sunday Night Baseball, that's primetime TV. You can't go wrong there. But out of all your TV options, Chris, were you watching Kershaw? Did you check out Copa America? Or did you go ahead and tune into that Game of Thrones season 6 finale?
I will say I did watch a little bit of the Copa America, but I didn't see all of it. I did see some of that game. I didn't really watch either of those. I was on my own schedule last night, so I kind of didn't tune in as much last night to some of those games. But I know there's a ton of people out there that love Game of Thrones, but I haven't really. It's not the show that I've gotten into. I don't know. I've been told I should, but I've never really gotten into it yet. So
hey, there'll always be another day for that, you know. Normally, me being the huge Kershaw fan I am, would tune into that game, but I actually caught the game was off in the background at one of my favorite restaurants in Madison, but I was watching the Copa America, tuned into Game of Thrones afterwards, so got my fill of baseball during the day, but haven't yet came close to my fill of baseball this Monday here. We've got a 10-game slate tonight. Of course, they're the Dodgers and the Pirates going on early right now as we record, actually. So we're going to focus on the 10-game slate. Pretty decent slate for a Monday night, actually. There are a lot of decent top-tier options. You've got Arrieta at 11-9, Syndergaard, Thor at 10-8, some mid-tier options, Jeff Samardzija, 9,400, Trevor Bauer, 8,900, Matt Shoemaker, can't deny what he's been doing lately, 8,500, and you've got Adam Wainwright at 8,400. Chris, for cash games, you need a safe strategy. Who are you looking to lock into your lineup on Monday night?
Yeah, the pitcher I'm looking at is we're going with Thor here, going against the Mets, or not going against the Mets. He's going against the Nationals, and he's facing a Nationals club that has scored three runs or fewer in seven of their last eight games. They finally broke their 7-game losing streak Sunday, but that offense as a whole has struggled as of late. And Syndergaard should be able to take advantage of that. He faced the Mets already once this year, and he struck them out 10 times, set down 10 batters via the K. And I prefer Syndergaard in that matchup. You do have a decent adversary in Joe Ross in that game, and the Mets offense has been bad. But even if Syndergaard doesn't get the win, I feel like there's enough floor for him that I'm willing to go with him even if he doesn't pick up the win. But I feel like there's still a good chance for that too, because while both lineups have been struggling, I feel like Syndergaard's good enough to get the win even despite that. And if I'm not going to go with him, there's some rain, I believe, in the forecast for this one. So if I'm not going to go with that one, if you do check back with that and it doesn't look like it's too promising, the other guy I would go with is Jake Arrieta. Seems like an obvious play. Mm-hmm. He is the top guy on the board, and he's facing the Reds. So
yeah, I'm going to put in my vote for Arrieta. I'm going to respectfully disagree on Syndergaard. just because there's a little bit too much of a question mark for me here. He got pulled from his last start, maybe a little bit early. There's that elbow issue. I think they're going to monitor his progress closely. If there's any sign of discomfort whatsoever, he's getting the axe. So I just don't really have a lot of faith in, one, him pitching deep into this game to have a big FanDuel performance and hit value at 10,800. And two, I don't have a whole lot of faith in the Mets offense to score him any runs. I mean, that lineup has been pretty dreadful lately. They gave Granderson and Cabrera the day off yesterday, so they should be back in action today. But I'm going to try to fade Noah Syndergaard tonight, and I'm not expecting to see really high ownership. That being said, you could almost consider him in GPPs for that reason, because if he does come out and strike out 10, not a whole lot of people are going to have him in their lineups. But yeah, I'm going to Arrieta today. A lot of reasons for that. Biggest for me being Cubs are -228 favorites. And I mean, he's on the road, but his price is under 12,000. As long as that price is under 12,000, I think he's always going to be in play. And you know, I like the Vegas odds. I like the matchup against the Reds. It isn't the most pitcher friendly ballpark, but to put the icing on the cake here, to put the cherry on top, don't forget that back on April 21st, Arrieta went and threw himself a no-hitter in a 16-0 victory at Great American Ballpark. Did walk four in the outing, needed 119 pitches. That was a season high for him, but he's done it before, and of course the Reds probably have some pride and are not going to let that happen to them again. But at the same time, I think all the factors are lining up in Arrieta's favor to have a big game. As such, I'll be locking him into all of my cash game lineups today. What about hitters, though? Let's shift to hitters before hitting tournament pitchers. There's a lot going on in the hitting department tonight. Of course, a smaller slate, but there's a lot of bad pitchers on the slate, Chris. Want to highlight the Blue Jays at Rockies. The over-under on that game is 12. And then I also want to highlight the Rangers at the Yankees. Chichi Gonzalez making his 2016 debut against Ivan Nova. The over-under on that game is 9.5, of course, at Yankee Stadium there. I guess let's just take it down. Before we talk about stacks in full, let's do position by position so we can kind of lead into our recommended stacks for the day. So, Chris, if you're looking at a potential stack here, let's just take it from the top. Who are you looking at the catcher spot tonight?
Wait, we're looking at stacks? We talking?
Well, we're just looking at catchers and potential. Yeah, we'll do positions and we can do some stacks a little bit later on. Usually the positions lead into the stacks,
yep.
Right?
Yep. So one of the catchers I'm looking at is Robinson Chirinos. He's sitting at 2,200 going against Ivan Nova. Nova's struggling a lot recently, and he's allowing a fair number of home runs every start. And it gives you a cheap option behind the plate if you want to pair it with a heavy pitcher, an expensive pitcher like Arrieta, like Syndergaard, some of those top tier guys. He's a guy that he hasn't been great recently, so you have to be prepared for the potential for a zero in this game here. But he is at 2,200, so and he's got a nice matchup. I could see that being a good play. The one I actually like a little more, actually at the same price, is Miguel Montero going against Dan Straley.
How is he that cheap?
Yeah, he's at 2,200 wow. Because he's been poor, but he still owns a 730 OPS on the road and a 708 against right-handed pitching. So he's really been struggling against lefties. And at home, both of these matchups at Great American Ballpark going against Dan Straley. And Straley has been good this year, but he's now allowed 10 runs in his last 10 and a third innings over the last two starts. So he's shown some signs of cracking. You're getting Montero as a really cheap option there, and I feel like that's a good play at that price.
Man, Montero's the ultimate GPP play because in the last 10 games, he's hit almost 25 points twice. He's got a 25-7 and a 24-7 in there. Also, he's risky because three of the last four, it's been a goose egg. Now, he started back-to-back contests. Probably going to end up catching Arrieta tonight. Wilson Contreras always in play the way he's been playing. He started in left field for a couple games in a row, so we'll see if Contreras gets a start or not. If he does, 3,000 isn't bad. I also, another $3,000 option at the catcher spot that I personally like. I like Cameron Rupp as part of a Philly stack tonight. Yeah, you heard me right. We've got a Philly stack. They're at Chase Field against Robbie Ray, so those right-handed bats are going to come really in handy. And if you want to use Arrieta, the Phillies are a stack that I'm going to consider using. Cameron Rupp is one way to go about doing that. Also, you got to look at Carlos Ruiz at 2,200. If he gets the start over Rupp, then that's someone that you might need to consider here. But let's move on to first base, Chris. There's a lot of intriguing plays tonight, a lot of expensive options with, of course, Edwin Encarnacion sitting at the top of the list at a $4,800 salary here that game at Coors Field. Do you want to find a way to get a piece of that one way or another? Do you pay up for Encarnacion, or are we moving down the list trying to find value elsewhere?
The one player I have highlighted today is one of my favorite plays. It's another guy in that Yankees Rangers game, Prince Fielder at 2,400 going against Nova. Same pitcher applies here, same conditions and everything as Chirinos. The game is at Yankee Stadium, which is generally friendly to left-handed hitters, and he's showing recent signs of life at the plate. He has two home runs in his last three games, and he has a hit in all of his last eight games. Mm-hmm. And as I mentioned, many factors going in his favor tonight. He's still sitting at just 2,400.
Dirt cheap.
So he's another guy that you can go for a lot of value at that position if you want to pay up at other. And I could see him hitting value. You can maybe utilize some of those Rockies and Toronto bats in other positions too, because they're going to be expensive nearly across the board.
Yeah, I mean, even if you use a cheap pitcher tonight and you pass, you're still not going to be able to fill up your lineup with Rockies and Blue Jays. So you're going to need some cheap options elsewhere. And in some of the early lineups I put together that include Arrieta, Fielder's been in there. You got to like his last four games. We got 10 fantasy points, 18.7, 12.2, and 25.2. Prince Fielder was the big name that I highlighted on today's slate as well, because I wanted to go with Tommy Joseph as part of a Philly stack. He should get the start tonight. I really can't argue with anyone that wants to play Tommy Joseph in there. But at the same time, I can understand people being relatively hesitant about a Philly stack, understandably so. And if you need to save some money, going to Prince at 2,400 is a near lock for me, especially the way he's been playing lately. Let's move over to the Keystone, though, Chris, where there's some high-priced options at second base, but also some decent value plays. Leading the way is Jose Altuve at 4,200 going against Shoemaker. You got Matt Carpenter at 4,000 going against Danny Duffy. Dustin Pedroia at 4,000 also in that matchup of the young pitchers between Eduardo Rodriguez and Blake Snell here. But I'm guessing there might be some value plays that you might want to look at, Chris. Can you lead me in the right direction?
Yeah. The person I have highlighted at that position is Logan Forsythe at 2,800 going against Eduardo Rodriguez. He's the leadoff hitter for the Rays. He'll get plenty of at-bats, and he owns an OPS over 1,000 against left-handed pitchers this season. Now, it is a little bit of a limited sample size because he's been injured. He only has 40 at-bats, but he does have two home runs against them so far. And he actually, over a larger sample size, had a 972 OPS against lefties last season. And surprisingly, four of his five home runs have come at home at Tropicana Field. You think maybe that's a little bit more of a pitcher-friendly park in general. But he's taking advantage of it still. It's not really affecting him too much in terms of his power. And he has the ability to do both, hit home runs and steal bases. Eduardo Rodriguez has not allowed a stolen base yet, so he's maybe not going to get that.
He got a lefty. He's got a nice pickoff move, but at the same time, Rodriguez likes to walk a lot of guys, so they'll be runners on most likely. So the opportunity could be there.
Yep, and there's definitely an opportunity to, even if he doesn't to drive in runs or score runs. There seems like a fair amount of opportunity to do that, and he's at 2,800, nice value. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Forsythe was the one play I wrote down as well. You know, if I'm doing air quotes here, but value, he has a great chance of hitting that at 2,800. I also wouldn't mind using Jerickson Profar at 3,200. Double check that he's in the lineup, or Rougned Odor at 3,400. Any Rangers lefties are going to be in play tonight against Nova at Yankee Stadium. The right field fence very short there, of course, as we all know the story on Yankee Stadium now. Any Rangers lefty given this matchup tonight is one of my favorite stacks, because that game is the second highest over under outside of Coors Field, with good reason here. What about third base, though, Chris? It's a spot that most people tend to typically pay up for a little bit. You're really hoping to try and get a home run from that position. As expected, top two on the board are from that Blue Jays-Rockies game. Donaldson at 5,000, Arenado at 4,600, and, of course, third here, Chris Bryant, 4,200. Not bad against Straley at Great American Ballpark, so I wouldn't have a problem with that either. But say you need to find some value out of the third base position because you used Arrieta or because you're using maybe some Rockies Blue Jays outfielders and want to save some money at third base. If you're looking for value, where are you leaning towards, Chris?
The hitter that I'm looking at is potentially Jose Ramirez against John Gant. He's not a guy that has a ton of power. He only has 4 home runs, but he's a cheaper option in the middle of a red-hot Cleveland lineup. He hits, I believe, just in the bottom half, but he is still in the middle of that lineup, and there's a good potential for him to have some RBI and some runs in that game. And he's reached double digits in FanDuel points 3 times in the last 5 games. So you're getting some, I believe, some good value there for a guy that's sitting at just 3,200. And I do like anyone. I mean, none of those, not many Braves pitchers scare me outside of Julio Teheran. So John Gant's certainly not one of them either. So of the guys in the Cleveland order, a lot of them are up in price because they've been so good, but he's still sitting at a decent value, I believe, at 3,200.
Yeah. Now, when I was looking at third base, there's really only one option for me, and that is Michael Franco at 2,900. I understand where you're going with Ramirez, but I mean, Franco seems to be as chalk as it gets. Say you completely disagree with me and don't want to use a Philly stack. Okay, fair enough. You're still going to want to use Franco because for under 3,000, yeah, he's been skidding a bit lately, but I mean, he hasn't taken a zero since June 19th. And since that zero, he's followed it up with 35 points, 6, 9, 24, 6, and 12. So there's that. And then, of course, you've got the platoon advantage over Robbie Ray at Chase Field. So throw out Joseph, throw out Rupp, get rid of any of the whoever they choose to bat 1 or 2 tonight. You know, if you don't want to use those guys, lean back to Franco because I think he has a very good chance to go deep once, maybe even multiple times tonight. And I'd say he at least has a 12-point floor. And for under 3,000, that's the kind of sacrifice that you're going to need to make if you want to make some of those pitchers work or if you want to get your fair piece of that Rockies and Blue Jays game. So I'm all in on Michael Franco tonight. I'll probably make 4 or 5 lineups, and that'll be the one consistent spot in between them all. That's just me, though. That's the way I'm getting a piece of that Phillies game, taking advantage of that hitter-friendly ballpark there. But, Chris, what about shortstop? You've got the usual suspects here atop the list, guys like Lindor, Correa. But is there anywhere where you'd like to find value tonight, or are we paying up?
I have Taylor Motter at 2,400 going against Eduardo Arriaga as well. He has drastic splits against left-handed pitching. He's been terrible overall, but he is against lefties, hitting 353 over 17 games. It is definitely, or 17 at bats, definitely a small sample size. He does have a home run and a double though against it. And again, we have a nice matchup there, against Eduardo Rodriguez. So it's surprising you don't think of him much. But he's a guy that sits at 2,400 that could be a value play for cheaper. Another guy I have that a little more expensive on the other side of that Yankees-Rangers game going against Chichi Gonzalez. I actually have Didi Gregorius sitting at 2,900. Chichi Gonzalez hasn't been particularly great at AAA this season, and Gregorius has been extremely hot at the dish recently, 2 home runs and a stolen base in the past 2 weeks with a 958 OPS. Good, again, the left-handed hitter at Yankee Stadium generally is a nice piece to have. And Gonzalez is a guy who generally pitches to contact. He's not a big strikeout pitcher. So you have a lot of factors working in Gregorius' favor as well in that matchup.
Yeah, absolutely. I couldn't dog you for any of those plays. But for me, the more and more I look at this slate, the more I really think that I'm going to have to pay up for Lindor tonight. I mean, Lindor has been hitting pretty well lately. He comes with a $4,100 price tag, so that sometimes limits what you're able to do exactly. But, I mean, left-handed hitters have a hard contact rate of 33% against John Gant, and I think John Gant for the Braves is due for a big-time blow-up here. So I'm going to pay up for Lindor if I can. I found ways to work him and Arrieta into my lineups, and I'm going to keep it that way. If you don't want to pay up for Lindor, I really like Brandon Crawford against the lefty-righty matchup against Megden at home, and he's only 2,900. So if you start out with Arrieta and only have a limited amount average per player, Crawford can still get you in there without hurting you too much. So Lindor, my option A, 1A, I would say, but Crawford 1B, especially if you need some value tonight. Chris, let's head on over to the outfield to wrap up the hitter discussion here. Are there any particular outfielders that stand out to you this evening, either as chalk plays that you got to pay up for or value plays that you want to find ways to work in your lineup?
I'll start with a value play. And one I believe could be a decent value tonight is Billy Hamilton at 2,000 against Arrieta, if assuming he's playing, generally is at this point. Arrieta is definitely a scary pitcher, and there's potential for a zero always when you're going against Arrieta, especially with a guy like Billy Hamilton, who isn't extremely high average hitter. However, Arrieta has allowed 11 stolen bases this year. So if Hamilton can reach base, there's still a chance for him to steal some bases there, and that gives you a fair amount of value right away if you can get a stolen base there. You're getting him at minimum price, and if you're looking for a guy to stick in there, I could see him being a value at that dollar. Mm-hmm. But if we're going to go, this is where I have a few of those top-tier guys. I like a couple of Rockies outfielders, both Carlos Gonzalez and Charlie Blackmon, I could see being good values tonight. Again, you look at it, Marco Estrada has been good this year, but he's a guy, knowing him from being in Milwaukee and even in Toronto, he's a guy that gives up a lot of home runs in general.
Mm-hmm. He was on pace to set a record with the Brewers. I remember that year. It was crazy. They moved him to the bullpen. That's really the only reason he didn't set the home run record. I know he's turned things around since then, but that's how I think when I think of Estrada.
Yeah, I mean, that still sticks in my mind, and I can see that. And definitely Coors Field amplifies any home run worries, so if you of those guys, I could see paying up for both Carlos Gonzalez and Charlie Blackmon in that lineup. Mm-hmm. I see both of them. He has allowed 6 home runs to left-handed hitters this season. So I if I'm going to pay up, and that's a position I really feel like I'm going to pay up tonight. I finally get a piece of that Rockies.
Yeah, I mean, if you pair both of those guys up with Billy Hamilton, you're averaging just over 3,000 a player, so it's not way too out of the question. I mentioned Billy Hamilton as well. FanDuel is very reactionary to matchups, at least it seems like it's the way that way this year, and Billy Hamilton at 2,000 is a great punt play, because even a guy like Hamilton, even when he's going up against an ace, all those high BABIP guys that can leg out infield singles, find creative ways to use their speed to get on base, they're still in play for me, even if the price gets knocked down a whole lot. Maybe Hamilton legs out an infield single. You mentioned Arrieta is susceptible to giving up steals and scores maybe one of the 2 runs that Arrieta allows the night or something like that. So I think even if you're using Arrieta, Arrieta can still get the win and Hamilton can get 15 FanDuel points, and that's like essentially hitting value at $2,000. A couple other guys I want to look at. One in terms of value play, Chris Coughlin. He's only 2,300. I'm kind of speculating at this point as to where he hits in the lineup, but there's a chance that he gets that favorable matchup. I mean, you've got another left-handed hitter going up against Straley, who is very susceptible to lefties doing some damage to him. So that's something to consider. And if he bats high in the order, I mean, of course, Joe Maddon's done a lot of things since Dexter Fowler's been out with that leadoff spot. So there's a chance he moves up there. Again, check those lineups on the RotoWire lineup page just to be 100% sure that guys like Coughlin, Hamilton shouldn't be out. But you never know. Double check on that game because it's definitely worth it. Before wrapping up the outfield discussion, though, Chris, I got to go and throw in my Rangers lefties. You mentioned, I gave Profar and Odor the nod earlier. You mentioned Fielder as your first baseman. I think Mazzara is just as much of a lock at 2,800, and he's also a good way to save a little bit of money. I mean, both Nomar Mazzara and Mitch Moreland are 2,800. Moreland's now outfield eligible, so both are in play if you're trying a Rangers stack. At the very least, I think Mazzara should be in most lineups going up against Ivan Nova here. So, you know, I'm pretty interested in the Rangers stack this evening. There's a lot of other potential stacks in play here. Of course, everyone's going to want to stack as much of the Rockies Blue Jays if they can afford it. Are there any other stacks at all you're looking at that we've discussed at all? Or you kind of spreading it out a little bit tonight, Chris?
I could still see some of those Cleveland hitters going against John Gant. I could see that being a decent mm-hmm. stack too. It may be one that goes under the radar a little bit because everyone's going to look into those 2 games. Mm-hmm. So if you're looking for a stack that you could maybe put into a tournament play that would be not as heavily owned, there's a chance, you know, they get a lot of runs. and there will be probably low ownership on some of those guys because mm-hmm. of the other two games we mentioned.
Yeah, my lineup so far, I've got Arrieta with a Rangers stack, which is highly affordable, and I've got Arrieta with a Philly stack. I'm going to keep tinkering and see what else I can work with today, but Rangers and Philly stacks, as opposed to Rockies Blue Jays stacks, pretty affordable. But let's say, I mean, if you want to use a Rockies Blue Jays stack, you're going to have to get a tournament pitcher, which we will get to in just 1 second. MLB season is here, and that means daily fantasy baseball is back. Go to FanDuel.com to play now. Building a team is easy. Just pick your players, stay under the salary cap, and sit back tonight and watch your team win. Entry fees start at just $1, so anyone can play. That is FanDuel.com, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. I alluded to tournaments here, Chris. If you want to put multiple Rockies, multiple Blue Jays, some of those approaching a $5,000 price tag, there's got to be some pitchers that you might want to look at where you can save $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 as opposed to going with the top option in Arrieta. Is there any kind of tournament player that really jumps out at you on today's slate?
The tournament pitcher that I'm looking at is Danny Duffy at $7,400 against the Cardinals. He has 8 strikeouts or more in 3 of his last 4 starts. He has recently had some issues with walks, but he has a high ceiling. He's a guy that has reached 60 points against the White Sox 3 starts ago. So he's a guy that he can rack up the strikeouts, and that's what you're really trying to get if you're going for a tournament play. Obviously, the win is ideal, and there's still a decent chance he's actually favored in that game. They're minus 120 favorites against Adam Wainwright and the Cardinals tonight. So you have the potential for a win, and you have some high strikeout potential, which are two factors that I want to look for in a tournament play. Mm-hmm. So the Cardinals in particular haven't been terrible against lefties this year, but they do have a history of being mm-hmm. bad against left-handed. Generally, year in and year out, they've been pretty bad against left-handed pitchers. So, and the game is also in Kansas City, which is generally a little more pitcher-friendly. And so you have some factors working in his favor, and he's a guy that I would definitely target mm-hmm. as a potential tournament play tonight.
Yeah, Duffy stands out to me. You got the Royals minus 116 home favorites at the K, very tough ballpark to get out of in terms of home runs here. So I like that. My tournament play, I'm going to use it just because of the pitching matchup. I think a lot of people are going to be backing off Joe Ross tonight because Noah Syndergaard is going to be opposing him. But I expressed my concerns in the show previously about Syndergaard possibly not going super deep into this game as a result of the elbow concerns from the last time. And also, I mean, the Mets lineup is terrible. Even assuming that they get Granderson and Cabrera back today, they both were resting yesterday, you're still starting guys like, I mean, the back half of that lineup, James Loney, Wilmer Flores, Brandon Nimmo, DeAza, Rivera, or Darno, or whatever. I mean, that looks very much like a minor league lineup here. So I'm targeting the Mets until they get a little bit healthier. As long as you can pitch your way around Cespedes and Walker, there's not a whole lot that scares me about that lineup. And I think Joe Ross should be able to handle that. So 8,100, yeah, he's a little bit more expensive. He might almost be in that middle tier, but I do like him for tournaments today. Otherwise, you know, I mentioned Eduardo Rodriguez being risky. Blake Snell is also probably pretty risky going up against the Red Sox. But I think either of those young pitcher options offer you enough strikeout upside. If you want to really punt the pitcher position, generally not advisable on FanDuel with only one pitcher, but something that if you want to try that strategy, stack up on your Rockies and Blue Jays, I'd say you could give one of those guys a shot here. But yeah, speaking of pitchers, weather report, wanted to quick wrap that up here before we finish the show. Indians and Braves, we got 58% chance of rain with a chance of thunderstorms. So you mentioned a potential sneaky Indian stack. You're going to want to watch the weather on that. Mets and Nationals, we're looking like 50-50, maybe not going to get canceled, but it's absolutely worth checking the weather there. Jays and Rockies, of course, the biggest hitting stack, looking for light showers early there. All right, well, thank you for listening to the RotoWire Fantasy Baseball Podcast, brought to you by FanDuel, the leader in one-day fantasy sports. Remember that first-time FanDuel users that make a deposit of $25 or more via RotoWire can get 6 months of complimentary access. To check out RotoWire.com on your own, just go to RotoWire.com/pod. That's RotoWire.com/POD. For Chris Benzin, I'm Jake Litarski. One last Twitter reminder, you can follow Chris at Crispy272002. You can give me a follow at JakeSki52. Otherwise, the RotoWire Daily Fantasy Baseball Podcast will return Tuesday with myself and John McKechnie.